Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And this week, we're chatting about me replaying Dragon Quest XI. This is kind of part two, maybe the final part of me replaying Dragon Quest XI. But anyway, I've been replaying through the vanilla version of Dragon Quest XI, and this is the first time I've played this version since it was new back in 2018. So I've been kind of rediscovering things, learning new things about the game and myself from replaying it. So this seemed like a good opportunity to kind of shoot back and talk about that, because once I finish up this replay of DQ11, I plan on getting into the Slime Mori Mori 3, which you bought me for Christmas.
I'm excited to know how that is.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too, especially after us talking about slimes all last week. I really wanted to, I went as far as grabbing the game off of my bookcase. I was like, I think I'm going to play this, but I slowed my roll a little bit because I was like, well, you're really close to the ending of DQ11 now. And also, Trails to Azure comes out, came out this week, actually. It's not quite at my house yet. And I know I'm going to want to be playing it a lot whenever it first gets here.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to it for a long time. And so I talked myself off the ledge.
I'm just starting that one right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been, like you saying that about Slime Mori Mori 3 reminded me of this week or next week, actually. Technically, when y'all are listening to this, it's next week. I think maybe it's the week after. I don't remember. It's very, very soon. It's within a weekish of the 3DS eShop being unable to be purchased from anymore. And since the Slime Mori Mori 3 is on the 3DS, I wanted to remind everybody out there that if you are planning on buying anything else for Nintendo 3DS or 2DS, whether it's Japan or English, I believe both of them stop being able to have new purchases made on at some point in the next week. So you should get on the Nintendo site and buy whatever you want, because you can no longer even buy it from the console. You'll be able to re-download anything that you have for the time being on the 3DS or the Wii U. But like, if you wanted to get the digital version of Slime Mori Mori 3 on a Japanese 2DS or 3DS, it is now the time to do that if you can buy it on the Nintendo site. Otherwise, you are going to be out
sad.
Of luck for getting any of those. Yeah, you're going to be real sad, like me missing out on like Pokemon Ranch or Pokemon Rancher or whatever on the Wii when I didn't realize that the shop had closed before I could get it. But yeah, I've got Dragon Quest Wars downloaded on mine. I started playing Fire Emblem Fates, I think Conquest, a little bit, just because I saw it on my 3DS when I went to look and see what I needed to re-download, stuff like that. But you talking about Slime Mori Mori 3 reminded me that if y'all want it digitally, you have a week to get it, roughly. So check that out, depending on your region.
Yeah,
same for the Wii U as well. The Wii U is on the same time scale, it's timeline. So check that stuff out too. I've got to hook mine up soon and make sure that I have all of my virtual console stuff bought that I want to, like Super Mario RPG that you can't get on other consoles right now.
Yeah, for sure. Good reminder. Before we get into today's episode too far, though, we do have a new Patreon patron that deserves a real nice thank you.
Thank you, Lore Master Mamo! You're my new favorite person! Thank you.
That was a long high note there. You hit it.
On an off key as well. So
yeah,
y'all are welcome. So welcome.
If you have any wine glasses in the room, I hope they're okay.
Or, you know, ears or people in, you know, any room. I'm fairly certain that Jennifer and Fallon in the other room here are like, what in the heck is he doing in there? Why is he screaming? So, because I don't think they know I'm recording a podcast. They just think I'm working. So, why the heck is BJ screaming right now?
That's awesome. But in all seriousness, thank you, Lore Master Mamo. We really appreciate you joining our Patreon community. And just a quick shout out to all our patrons. We appreciate all you guys. Should we do the Dragon Quest AI jokes at the beginning or the end? I'll leave it up to you.
I think it has to be at the end. I think that has to be a good end of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll save my terrible AI jokes for the end.
I'm looking forward to these. Like the AI jokes I've been able to come up with, the ones I was using just don't work. Like they're not even jokes. They're terrible. So I'm looking forward to hearing what y'all were able to get for the Dragon Quest ones.
Well, we'll see how today goes because I haven't read ahead on these either. So we may have peaked already. There may not ever be anything as good.
Austin, I'm in my 40s and you're in your 30s. We have already peaked.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Anyway, so getting over into my DQ11 playthrough, one of the first things I have to talk about. This is a habit that I have not been able to break, okay? And I'm currently toward the very end of
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I got a text message from Jennifer as you're talking that says, "What the hell are you doing?" Just so that you know that is where is exactly what I said would happen.
Yeah, that's hilarious. This is a habit I've not been able to break. I'm currently toward the end of Act 2. So toward the end of, rolling the credits for the first time in the game. So pretty good ways into it. And I can't stop doing this. I keep wanting to talk to the spirits of time. The little ghosties.
Oh, yeah.
They're called Tockles, in 11S. But back then, back in the heyday, they were just like spirits of lost time or whatever. But they're all over. And I keep going over to them, trying to talk to them. Or whatever, and realizing that, oh, yeah, that's an 11S thing. Like, you collect the Tockles and do all of that. And even now, as far as I am, if I see one just walking around, I go over there to try to interact with it, and then it walks through a wall or, disappears, and I'm like,
but, oh, yeah. But please? But I want to go to yours.
Yeah.
I
want to go to there, to Tickington. But,
yes.
But yeah, it keeps, you would think that this far into the game, I would have stopped doing this by now, but no, it's just, I guess it's one of those things where I've played 11S so much and I played the 3DS version and then 11S twice since vanilla. So I got used to interacting with these creatures, I guess is the main thing, but yeah, it's just, it's really. And every time I do it, I like feel bad about myself. Like I go over there and talk and I'm like, quit doing that, you idiot. Because I'm just doing it so much.
And I make myself stop. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where like I always went up to them anyway when I was playing the original one because they're cute. And it's like I wanted to see what was going on. It was well before we knew anything about the Japanese version and Tickington and all that. And so, yeah, of course you're going to go up to them. And now that you know something's up, that's just a habit that I don't think is going to die.
Yeah. So that's been kind of a hard habit to break. But I think the biggest difference for me is that we've done a lot of episodes on the characters, and you and I just in general have talked about the characters in 11 a whole lot. I think the cast is great. But for whatever reason, like, and I find myself doing this a lot when I replay games, like things that I didn't like the first go around, I like now, or things that I liked the first time around, I don't like as much now. Like it just happens, whether it's rewatching a movie or a TV show or playing a video game, like it just happens when I go revisit things. And like, weirdly enough, I know I gave like Serena a hard time, especially in Act 1, where I was talking about how like she doesn't really like I don't think Serena is interesting at all until Act 2, until after she becomes like OP Sage Lady after Veronica is dead and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I do like her more this go around. Like, I still think it takes way too long for her character to develop.
Yeah.
Like, I still feel like it takes too long for her to really shine. Like you have Eric, and you spend so much time at the beginning of this game with Eric. And then you have Veronica, who is just such a big personality and has such a big presence.
Yeah.
You have Silvando, who is also a really big personality and has such big presence. And then you have Serena kind of sandwiched in between meeting Veronica and meeting Silvando. And it's just like she gets lost in between those two. And then even after Silvando with Rab and Jade, both of them have a much bigger presence than she does and more personality right out the gate. And so I do still feel like kind of Serena gets the like short end of the stick or the staff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, I do like her more. And I think I was kind of thinking about this before we recorded today. And I think the reason I like it more is because of how wholesome her character is.
Right.
And I think I appreciate it more because the world's a lot darker now than it was in 2018.
I mean, it's true. Like playing these games like this do give a different feeling from when you first got them, when the world was not like a post-apocalyptic hellscape itself.
Yeah.
And like everyone you know is cynical and bitter about everything.
Yeah. I think just... You know, not that 2018 was like peachy keen, but I think just
no.
in comparison, you know,
right.
it was a much better time. And I think so. I don't think Serena's like ray of sunshine attitude was fully appreciated back then, or even in like the subsequent yeah. playthrough in like 2019. But like with this one, it's like, yeah, I think that I don't know. I appreciate her more. And I'm like. Yeah, you stay positive.
It's true. Yeah, I do appreciate that kind of thing a lot more in games now.
Yeah, and then, but the, kind of the opposite is true with Eric, which is weird for me because I've always really liked Eric. And
right.
I think maybe, I don't know, this one's kind of harder to get my finger on, but I think it might be because of playing Treasure so recently. Like, I spent so much time with kid Eric and running around that it's just like... It's like, yeah, he's Eric. He's
yeah.
got his whole like BFF shtick that he does throughout the story. And, you know, still nice guy. I like Eric fine.
Right.
It's not that I hate Eric or anything. It's just that I'm disinterested in him this time.
Do you think Treasures has anything to do with that?
I mean,
having
yeah.
been played yeah. so much of him there.
Yeah. I mean, I think sinking like 50, 55 hours, however long into DQ Treasures, like, what, a month ago was when I finally called it quits on that one.
Yeah,
I think that's a big part of it for sure. Yeah, but I think it's just that I've like seen him already. Like these other characters I've been away from for a while. I haven't gotten to see I haven't gotten to see Silvando or Veronica or Rab or Jade or Hendrik or the Luminary. I haven't
yeah.
really seen any of them in a couple of years, in a few years, and. But with Eric, it's kind of like, oh, I just saw you. He's like that friend you take for granted because you see him all the time.
Yeah.
And then when you go to like your high school reunion, that friend is there, but you're too busy like visiting with the other people that you haven't seen in so long. Maybe it's like that. I don't know. I skipped my high school reunion because
I went to my first one and I went with Jennifer to her first one, our 10 years. And we realized that we were not going back after that, that wasn't worth the time.
They've just
I hang out with the people I wanted to keep up with anyway.
Yeah, they've just always seemed really lame to me anyway. And like I looked at I'm really glad I didn't go to my last high school reunion because I saw some pictures of it online and it was like it was like in a pool hall and there were like nine
right.
people there. And I was like, yeah, really glad I didn't go to that. Like, it was just not my thing. And I don't know. But yeah, I've always thought that they were kind of lame to begin with. And
right.
I just like, yeah, I just had no desire whatsoever. I don't know. Maybe the coming up on my 20th one kind of soonish, which is weird to think about. But I'm not really going on to that one either.
Yeah, I avoided. Mine actually didn't do a 20 in 2021 because of all the COVID stuff that was going on. They didn't even do didn't even get together to do a 20th anniversary, 20th reunion. And I was not going to go anyway. So that's good for me. But yeah,
mine was like the 10 year one. It was just weird because it was like I'm from a very small little rural town. So my graduating
right.
class was only, it was 68 people was my graduating class. And at the time, I don't know if it's still true, but at the time it was the largest graduating class in the history of that high school. And it was 68
wow.
people. Yeah. And so whenever the high school reunion, I was like, oh yeah, it's probably going to be happening soon. I still had a Facebook back then, so I got like invited to the stuff. And then I was that jerk who just like left the group silently. I'm that guy. But anyway, I was like, yeah, this is probably going to be lame. And then I saw pictures of it afterwards. And it was like, in my mind, I was like, I knew the handful of people that were actually going to be there. And not that I hate those right. people or anything. Like, I was always nice to everybody I graduated high school with. But like, it was the 9 people that were there. I was kind of like, yeah, they're the like 9 people I would expect to be there. And that like, they're all friends with each other anyway. So they probably hang out outside of the high school reunion.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I'm cool with missing that. Just not on my agenda. And also I live far away. I'm one of 2 people that I know of. Again, it's a small graduating class. So I like know pretty much everybody still. I'm one of like 2 people that like really live outside of like the state or at least like the Tri-County area.
Right.
And the other guy that I know of that lives out of the state still lives closer. And I'm like almost 1,000 miles away. So I'm just like, whatever. If I don't still show up, people sad, can yep. understand. People will understand if I don't show
it's
up.
It's true.
I live far away. Got things to do. But anyway, so I guess that it's kind of like that though, where it's like Eric I've seen a lot of. And so these other characters I haven't seen in a few years. So it's just kind of like, okay, Eric, I spent some time with you, but I'm going to go spend some time with these other people now because I haven't seen them in a while. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I mean, I enjoy Treasures and I like Eric, but for whatever reason, I'm just not interested in Eric at all this playthrough. Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, that's one of the reasons that you replay stuff like this is to experience it in a different way. It's not ever going to be the exact same kind of playthrough that you had before.
Yeah, for sure. I have a few more things I want to say about DQ11, and we got some jokes. But first, I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
Shameless, oh, I'm so shameless. We've got a Patreon, we are so shameless.
Yeah, for sure. We have a Patreon, and you can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. Also, this week, we have a totally not pre-recorded ad to throw your guys' way. So give it a listen so that we can make a little money, please.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, that was totally not staged or pre-recorded. It was all original.
No.
That was BJ right now just reciting
just
that
now.
To me. Yes.
It was.
You were not reading.
I didn't write anything down in reading or anything at all.
You did not. It was yes. Not. So getting over back toward DQ11. I can confirm this is something that I've said a lot of times, and now I can actually 100% say that I'm certain the story is so much better without those side stories in the middle. I've gotten past that point. And yeah, it's just the thing with the side stories is the timing of it is terrible. And in this vanilla version, it's like, you know, you get to the world tree. It certainly feels like you're getting to the ending of this game. It's like you have all the orbs. You are going to the world tree. It feels very big as you're climbing up right. the world tree. And you're just like, yeah. But, you know, it's an RPG. So you're like, okay, there's probably going to be a boss fight at the end. But then Mordigan just comes through, you know, and just like almost with like a Thanos type snap, he just starts like knocking back everybody. And you don't know, and then it, you know, fades to black. You don't know who's alive. You don't know who's dead. You don't know what's going on. It's like, holy crap, the bad guy won. It's like, you know, not since really, like, I guess Final Fantasy VI with Kefka. Like, this is really the first time.
Yeah.
This is really the first time since then that I've had this kind of moment in a video game where it was like, what's going on? But whereas FF6, like, wakes up and you're with, what's her name, Celeste? And you know, everything is all dreary and everything. This takes a completely just different direction, 180. And it's like all of a sudden you're a little fish under the water.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I hate it.
It's like, what? Oh, dude, I love it so much.
Oh, I hate it so much. Like, that is actually one of the reasons I stopped playing DQ11 in the first place, like when I first went on a pause and decided to wait, is because I hated the fish part so much.
I would argue that you hate joy. You hate the fish. You hate the parade. I think you just hate joy.
I don't like that stuff. I like doing things. Okay, so it's that kind of thing is so far out of the typical gameplay loop of a game like this that I don't want to do it because I want to play the game that I want to play.
I don't know. Like, I love it. That you
I
wake
know,
up.
I don't like it.
You're a fish, and it's not for me. It doesn't feel too long. Like, it's a pretty brief thing, especially if you're just doing the story part of it. And it's just like, I don't know. I really like that part, and it was one of those like really big surprises my first time playing through it. And even now, I think it works really well. But it's right. You don't have to wade through all the side stories first. Like in the 11S, it's like, okay, it fades to black, and instead of waking up as a fish, it's like you go through the side story of, I can't remember who's first, Eric, I think, maybe, and then it's like you go through with Jade and Savanna and Rab, and it's just like I didn't need all of that stuff, and the transition, I think, works much better whenever you wake up as a fish and don't know what happened to your friends. You don't know if they're alive, and the problem with the side stories is that you've played through all of that at this point. And so it kills the suspense whenever all the characters are like, we don't know what happened to your friends. It's like, well, I do, because I just spent 30 minutes rounding up a parade of Silvando. And in the vanilla version, you don't have that. And it works so much better. And whenever you do bump into the characters again, it adds to that sense of mystery and like tension and suspense, because you're like, oh, Rab is super skinny now on this mountaintop. Is he dead? I don't know. He looks like a corpse. And like with Silvando popping in as the parade, that's more shocking because, you know, you didn't round up this parade beforehand. And
right.
And with Serena and Veronica, it's more of a twist because you've been finding your friends. So whenever Serena shows up by herself and lets you know Veronica is dead, it actually seems unexpected. Whereas with the side stories in 11S, it's like Serena doesn't get one or Veronica. So it like, even if you were playing it for the first time, I would imagine you would think to yourself, that's weird. What's up with that? Why, you know, what's going on here? Why didn't they get one? And be a little suspicious. And you don't necessarily have that suspicion with the vanilla version. And just in terms of pacing, like from a total like narrative standpoint, it works so much better without the side stories. Like I know this is probably a hot take for most people, but I still stand by it that the vanilla version is the better version. I mean, there's some things in 11S, don't get me wrong, that I like. Like the Takington stuff was fun. Being able to speed up battles was nice. Like there's some cool quality of life improvements, photo mode, things like that were all nice. But just in terms of like the story and everything, the vanilla version, I think, is so much better.
Wow. I did not expect that to come out of this replay.
Really?
No. I expected you to be like, oh, this is a really good base, and there are some really good, better moments, like not having the side stories in the middle, but I did not expect it to just straight up be, this is better all the way around.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's good. And I think part of it, too, is that, like, with Takington, doing the Takington stuff and going back in time and revisiting old characters, it's like, it's fun, but, like, I kind of view that as being like adjacent to everything in DQ11. It's not necessarily content that I would want to do on every playthrough of this game. And like, if you're just playing through the story of Dragon Quest XI and you're not worried about this tacked on Takington stuff or the side stories, like I think that as a game, I think the vanilla version of 11 is better. I said it. I said it, and I don't regret it.
Wow, that actually does very much surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've thought that the vanilla version was better, like, for a long time now. And so, I mean, I'm not particularly surprised by this. This is just kind of the first time that this is me actually going back and playing the vanilla version. And I think it's better. I like it. Right now, I am just kind of my old southern grandmother would call fiddle farting around. I'm fiddle farting around with like side quests and stuff. In Act Two, before going to do all the boss stuff and see the first set of credits roll. I plan on going into Act Three after this. So we'll see. My opinion might change with Act Three. I don't think so, because Act Three doesn't really shake too much up. I won't have the super bosses that I get,
which will be interesting to go into the post credit stuff to see how your opinion changes on all of this. Yeah. I've never played anything in the post game of the vanilla version.
I don't think that my opinion will change much, because I didn't especially love taking down the super bosses or anything. It was like, again, it's content that like I did once and I enjoyed it when I was playing through 11S, but like I don't feel the need to go and like buff everybody up and try to take down the time worm again or do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think once I take down like Colasmos and like the true ending for DQ11, I'll be good. Like, I don't see myself getting there and being like, you know what? This needed a really, a much harder super boss at the end for me to continue playing through to make this better. Like, I don't see that happening.
Right. I was talking to Fallon the other night and realized that I don't believe I have ever actually killed a super boss in a game, that I've ever been dedicated enough just to grind up and kill any of the like super overpowered like super bosses of any of them.
That's weird.
Like none. Yeah, I can't think of any of them that I've ever beat. Like,
you didn't
that
do,
were actually considered super bosses.
You never did like Ruby Weapon or Emerald Weapon in FF7?
Never was able to beat them. No.
Oh.
No, I kept trying and was never able to beat them, even back in the day.
Or what's its name? Uzma or Ozma or whatever, the big rainbow ball thing in FF9?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Never did.
Hmm.
There's a Final Fantasy boss in Super Mario RPG that I remember as a kid, Luke and I kept trying to beat and never could. Tried some of them in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It's just one of those things where I'm like, oh man, this is too hard. And then I'm like, I could grind up for it. And then I start, and then I'm like, I'm bored. And I go to a different game.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's left. And I'm like, I don't care enough to do this, to spend this time on just grinding to beat this one boss. Where if I were already up there and it was like, oh, I need just a little bit to be able to beat it, like I'm just a little underpowered, but usually it's you're so significantly underpowered at the end of the game that it's like, okay, I have to spend time doing this specifically. And that's why I've never like gone and done one, is because I would rather be playing a different game than just grinding to beat one boss for a reward that is probably not going to have any kind of use for me, because I'm not going to continue playing that game.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. For me, I think I have to care about the game to really continue playing it to do any kind of super boss. Like, I've done the one in FF9, but only like maybe 3 times out of like the 20 times I've played FF9 do I bother with it. And like I did, I was never able to beat Ruby Weapon back in the day. I beat Emerald Weapon, but not Ruby Weapon back in the day. But then whenever the remaster or whatever came out for like PS4 and everything, like it'd been, you know, 20 some odd years since I'd tried either one, so I went through and did those just to, you know, see it. And then with 11s the first time, you know, I made sure to go through and do all of that stuff, but now that I've seen it, I'm just like, eh, you know, whatever, I don't need to do it again.
So I think
for me it has to be like a special game or like a special circumstance for me to do it, to really, like, I have to really care. Like, there's super bosses and plenty of other games that I've just been like, I'm good. I'll just play something else now. I don't need this. Like in some of the trails, games, and like in the FF10 remaster, and just, you know, various RPGs like that, where I'm just like, whatever. I'm good.
Wow.
All right, so. Dragon Quest joke time. For those of you who did not listen to last week's episode yet or anything, so our friend Chris, through work, he was working with this AI program, and he was just kind of messing with it to see how advanced it could get. It started off as a joke where he was just trying to get it to say things about me and Dragon Quest. And then somehow that evolved or devolved, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it, into it trying to generate Dragon Quest jokes. And they're not really good in the sense that things are good, but the ones that I read last week were kind of funny. I have not read these in advance, and so I just wanted to take some time to read a few more. I don't think I'm going to be doing this like every episode the rest of the year, but there's still quite a few to go with, so I wanted to see if today's batch would be as good as last week. Here we go. Why was the Dragon Quest player always hungry?
I don't know. Why?
Because all they ate were medicinal herbs.
Wow, that's terrible.
It's not a good joke, but again, it's kind of like the saving the church one, where it's like it's cool that it knows that much about Dragon Quest.
That. Yeah.
And I mean, I guess technically if you ate like medicinal herbs, you would not be full. You would be hungry all the time.
Yeah, you would be.
Just eating leaves.
Yep.
What did the monster say to the Dragon Quest hero?
Oh, God. I don't know. I can't even think of a pun for this one.
You think you're tough? Wait until you meet my mom.
Whoa, that's weird.
There's no punchline.
There's not. My mom's stronger than me. That's odd.
And then
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know what to say about that one either. And then we have, how do you know when you're playing too much Dragon Quest?
Your eyes start bleeding and you see slimes in your dreams.
You see slimes in your dreams. That's the answer.
Really?
Yes. Congratulations.
Oh wow.
You have been outed as an AI program.
I'm a robot.
This entire time, people have thought for like 5 years now that I've been talking to my friend, but you're actually just an AI program of my own creation.
Yeah, I am actually just chat GPBG.
But this explains why all your jokes are so bad.
It does. Wow. I'm actually kind of amazed on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. Wow. Last one for the day. I just read it, and I'm like, what? What's the difference between a golem and a dumbbell?
If the golem is animated and can hit things, I don't know.
One's a weightlifting tool, and the other is a weightlifting fool.
Whoa, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard. That's one of the worst jokes in the world.
Yeah, so if anything that we learned from today, it's that if you don't like AI, like me, and you're a little bit worried about where it will go, I think we got a little bit of time, at least if you're like a comedian or joke teller. You got a little bit of time.
It's not going to be taking over any humor columns, at least.
It's not going to be taking your job yet, maybe in like 6 months or a year. But right now, your job is safe if you make jokes for a living.
Absolutely.
The dudes who write like 100 jokes to tell your friends, those like books, you know, that you can buy for like $2 at the book fair. Those guys are safe for right now.
They are. Will be coming for you.
For the moment, yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, you can chat with us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. We're also over on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And once again, a big shout out to Loremaster Mamo and all of
Loremaster Mamo!
And all of our patrons. And if you want to talk to me personally, I'm over on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beej, on Mastodon as Beej at dice.camp. And you can join us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And remember, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bleep blort. Bye.